Good morning to everybody this morning. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport, Tennessee. I want to welcome you to our broadcast this morning. We are currently in the middle of a Bible prophecy series, and if you've been listening, this is sermon number 21 in that series, and the particular topic that we're dealing with now is the Gentile nations, and I believe this will probably be about the 11th sermon that we've had on that particular topic. Last week we closed out with Ezekiel chapter 37 and showed that Israel had been restored to their land over in the Middle East. And doing that, we reminded everybody that that restoration had to take place before the events that we're going to talk about in the coming weeks could have taken place, and those events, of course, are events that take place during the tribulation. I'd like to remind everybody out there this morning that there is no event left on God's timetable or anything that has to happen before the rapture of the saints could take place. The rapture could happen at any moment. I want to open us up with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach and teach the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'll open ears out there this morning, Lord, and open the eyes of people, Lord, that they might behold wondrous works out of thy Word today, Lord. We just want to praise you, Lord, for the gift of salvation and pray once again that you'll bless in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, when we closed out last week, we were talking about the restoration of the nation of Israel to the land over in the Middle East over there. And a lot of folks today mistakenly call that land Palestine. And I want to warn you once again that as a Bible-believing Christian, you ought not be referring to it as Palestine, but ought to be referring to it as Israel. God never refers to that land over there when Israel is in that land as Palestine. He does refer to that land as Palestine when he is using it as the place for the judgment of the Gentile nations. And we will talk a little bit more about that in a future sermon in this particular series. In fact, we have already talked about it, but we'll go back and touch it again. But what I want to get into the middle of now is we're going to start talking about the events that lead up to Armageddon. And it's a very long process. Many people look at Armageddon as being a single battle, and that is not the case. Armageddon is just but the final battle in a long series of battles that take place in Israel during the tribulation. What we want to now turn to is the military alliance commanded by Gog that will enter into that glorious land of Israel from the north. I want you to turn your Bibles today to Ezekiel chapter 38, and we're going to read that whole chapter there and see what God has to say about this coming event. Ezekiel 38, chapter 38, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters and his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands, and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at that same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, thou shalt thou not know it. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, and all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at that same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in my fire, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. That is quite an extended passage of Scripture. We also, when we're dealing with the Bible prophecy, we must remember that all prophecy uses Jerusalem and Israel as the geographic reference point. And that's critical in what we're going to be talking about here this morning, because if you don't understand that, it has led a lot of commentators and preachers to make some mistakes in locating who the countries are that are involved here. One of the tasks before us is to identify the nations that were set before us in Ezekiel 38. It is not a task that is without some difficulty and controversy. One of the points of difficulty is the location of Magog, Meshach, and Tubal. We must remember that locations given in Ezekiel 38 and 39 are geographic reference points and not references to peoples. That gets a lot of folks confused sometimes too. Some of the lands called out have been conquered and occupied by many different peoples, some of whom have moved from their ancient locations in what is now modern Turkey to locations between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea and to locations on the northern shores of both the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. It's what most folks would recognize as being southern Russia today. During recorded history, There have been, I want you to listen to this. This is amazing. During recorded history, there have been at least 38 different ethnic groups that have occupied either all or part of the area under discussion this morning. Some of the major groups that have controlled this area include the Hittites, the Phrygians, the Lydians, the Persians, the Greeks, the Assyrians, the Scythians, the Armenians, the Romans, and the Turks, just to name a few. In terms of today's geography, these lands would include Turkey, the Republic, and I'm talking about the former Russian Republic of Georgia, Azerbaijan, and Armenia. The Republic of Georgia, Azerbaijan, and also Armenia are sandwiched between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea in what was at one time called Togarma. You remember the reference that we read in Ezekiel chapter 38 that referred to Togarma. So that's where it is located. Some would even include parts of the Ukraine and extreme Russia, and also a country that's really up to the northeast of the Caspian Sea called Kazakhstan. And it's located on the northern shores of that the Black Sea and also the Caspian, within the bounds of the lands described in Ezekiel 38. We would remind you that all of the locations just mentioned are to the north of Israel. Remember the scripture in Ezekiel 38 said that they would come out of the northern parts. All these countries are to the north of Israel. Many times, we frame our interpretation of Bible prophecy in terms of current events. That can lead to errors in interpretation if we do not locate the countries under discussion in their ancient geographical context. Most of the older and or the ancient maps that we find depict Magog, Meshech, Tubal, Togarma, and Gomer inside of an area that includes all of modern Turkey and the land that lies between the Caspian and the Black Sea. You need to keep that in mind. It lies within those lands, and it's the majority of it, by the way, is in Turkey. Many Bible students try to follow some of the original inhabitants of the lands that we just talked about to their point of migration and end up, just in one case, for instance, putting Gomer in Germany because it fits a Bible prophecy viewpoint that they have been taught. That just will not work. In Ezekiel 38 and 39, God is not calling out specific ethnic backgrounds, but is instead calling out specific geographic locations. That's where he's pinpointed it at. When God calls out specific geographic locations in the Bible, the lands are still where they were when he first identified them through, even though some of the inhabitants may have migrated to other locations or some of the names of the nations may have changed. And if you look at a lot of these places, they have changed if you put them on a modern map. Now, we said that to say this. Togarma is identified as being in the north quarters. In other words, it is the farthest north extent of Ezekiel chapter 38's boundaries. A look at any ancient map showing Togarma will reveal that its northernmost boundary was located at about the midpoint of both the eastern shore of the Black Sea and also the midpoint of the western shore of the Caspian Sea in the area of Caucasus Mountains. There was also a time in ancient history when Greater Armenia occupied this same territory. And by the way, they still exist as an area known as Armenia, which is on the east of Turkey itself. I've done a lot of research on this topic, and we have not found an older and or an ancient map that locates Meshech and Tubal outside of northern modern-day Turkey. And a lot of people like to put these things as being one of them specifically at Moscow. And that just will not line up with some other facts that we'll deal with here in a few minutes. Many Bible prophecy teachers try to make Meshach into Moscow and Tubal into Tobolsk. And that Tobolsk is spelled T-O-B-O-L-S-K, both of which are in Russia. That mistake is made because many have read Russia into the prophecy of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Many have made that mistake by breaking the rules of transliteration when moving a word from one language to another. And in conjunction with breaking that rule, they have relied upon the corrupt American Standard Perversion, the New American Standard Perversion, and the New King James Perversion to come up with a word that they call in their, in those perversions, they use the word Rosh in Ezekiel 38, verses 2 and 3, and also in Ezekiel 39 and 1, instead of the phrase that's in the King James Bible, which says the chief prince, as it's used there. And if you're looking for something to support a prophetic position that you hold, then you're using the wrong methods to try to interpret Bible prophecy. What they have done is it was but a small step for them to go from the word Rosh that appear in those translations to Russia. Now, Russia is a word that did not even enter the English language until the late 11th century. So they just weren't there. And we know that the Bible was published, these things were published way before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this word Russia didn't even appear in the English language until the 11th century. Now, moving from Rosh to Russia involves a consonant change that violates the rules of transliterating from one language to another. And what that rule says is that when you move a word from one language, you transliterate it, and by transliterating, I mean you take it and you move it. You don't try to translate it. You move the letters from that particular alphabet to the alphabet of another foreign language. When you do that, the requirement for that is that those consonants remain in the same order. The vowels will typically, when moved from one language to another, they will change. They'll be different. But those consonants must be in the same order. So what has happened there is that when they went from Rush to Russia, they switched the positions of two of those consonants, and then when they did, they violated the rules of transliteration. So to identify Rosh with Russia is linguistically incorrect. Now, the same type of mistake was made when Meshach is translated to Moscow. They moved the position of the consonants. Now, given all the information in Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 6, we must conclude that Meshach and Tubal can only be located within the boundaries of modern Turkey. Let me repeat that. Meshach and Tubal can only be located within the boundaries of modern-day Turkey. With all that said, we do not rule out Russia as being a participant in the conflict as a supporting ally of these Islamic countries, but Russia will not be the instigator of the conflict. The attack in Ezekiel 38 will come from within the borders of modern-day Turkey. In other words, Turkey, with her allies, will instigate the attack. The northwestern border of ancient Persia, or what we now know as modern-day Iran, butts up to the southeastern border of Turkey. And if any of you follow the events in the Middle East, you could not have missed the fact that there is some very strong anti-Semitic rhetoric coming out of both Turkey and out of Iran, and it spews forth almost daily from the satanic mouths of Recep Erdogan, who is the prime minister of Turkey, and also Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran. He's the president of Iran, and they're constantly mouthing about the Jewish people and about Israel, seeking the destruction of those nations. And yet they claim they want peace. Now, as part of this situation in Ezekiel chapter 38, we have two nations from northern Africa that are aligned against Israel. These we will call, in this particular series, we're going to call them the Southern Alliance. These two nations are Libya and Ethiopia. Now, there's some disagreement as to the location of ancient Ethiopia. Some have placed it in North Africa, where Sudan is now located, just to the south of Egypt. Still others have placed it in South Saudi Arabia, where Yemen and Oman are located. The modern country of Ethiopia is located southeast of Sudan. It is a landlocked country. In fact, it's the largest landlocked country in the world. And it has Somalia and Kenya on its southern border, Eritrea and Djibouti on its eastern border, South Sudan on its western border, and Sudan on its northwestern border. Now, both Dedan and Sheba are located in southern Arabia. Tarshish is yet another story. Some take Tarshish as being Tarsus in Southeast Asia Minor, which if you looked at a modern day map, it would be on the mid-southern coastal area of, once again, Turkey. The mid-southern coastal area of Turkey. Now still others will try to place it on the southern coast of Spain. And that's a difficult interpretation and without a lot of support. While it seems that Sheba and Dedan and Tarshish will protest, it also appears that they will not put up any active resistance. Now, many folks will make the mistake of believing that all wars are about the human desire for power, land, and wealth. They never seem to look for the spiritual motivation behind men's actions. The wars in the tribulation are motivated by Satan's spiritual warfare against God and his chosen people. Satan seeks the destruction of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Satan is the founder of all false religions, and he is the father of hatred. False religion and hatred are tools of spiritual warfare that Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will use in an attempt to destroy Israel. So let's look at for the common spiritual root that drives the nations that are identified in both Ezekiel 38 and 39. Take a look at a map. And if you look at a map very closely, the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, posted a fact book every year. The 2009 CIA fact book has some maps in there that identify the Islamic countries in the world. And if you take all the nations that are identified in Ezekiel 38 and 39 and place them on a modern map, you will find that the common core among those is that they are Muslims. They are Islamic, in other words. That is the unifying factor between all of those. And that particular map that I just referred to, the 2009 map, on the map, the light green areas represent the Sunni Muslims, which, by the way, are the largest group of them, and the dark green areas represent the Shia Muslims. You will see that Israel is represented by a small white dot in a sea of green. That particular map that we referred to came, once again, from that 2009 CIA World Factbook. The situation here in the year 2013 has only become worse. Satan's hatred of Jews, Israel, and Bible-believing Christianity is the engine that drives Islam. Do not buy into Satan's lie that it is so-called radical Islam that is the source of the problem. That is a lie that pukes forth from the deceived and defiled minds of Western political and religious leaders. And quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing it. I don't know how much further the deception goes. And those Western leaders would include the United States of America too, folks. Western and political and religious leaders have been sent strong delusion, and they have believed the lie that they can compromise with Islam to ensure their survival. The type of compromise we're talking about is the weak-kneed, unprincipled, fearful run-and-hide response of ungodly and decadent United States political leaders in response to the wickedness and demonic mayhem of Islam. Our leaders do not have a backbone. They're running in fear. They have returned, if you will, to a spirit of fear and of bondage, because our country's leaders, for the most part, are unsaved pagans is what they are. I want to say this. You cannot compromise with the devil and win. Because America has forsaken God, we have been given a spirit of bondage and fear that we will not recover from without national repentance. Now, let us turn to the book of Ezekiel once again and go to chapter 39, and we're going to read that whole chapter. We may not be able to get through all that I want to on it today, but I'm going to read the entire chapter. Starting in verse 1, "Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts. And I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name any more, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and shall set fire, and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. So that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the Valley of Haman Gog." I'm going to have to stop there for today, but I do want to remind you that if you look at this Valley of Haman Gog, and we'll get into it next week, excuse me, if you look at the Valley of Haman Gog, it is a place that God has specially prepared to bury the massive number of casualties that is going to come about as a result of this. And I'd like to remind everybody, if you'll take a close look at the passages in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's God that's doing the destroying. There is no army that's done. He has drugged them upon the mountains of northern Israel for their destruction. And by the way, there will only be one out of six of them left alive. We'll rejoin next week at this point and pick up there and cover a little bit more on the nations in Ezekiel 38 and 39. I want to thank you for joining us in the broadcast today, and I pray that the Lord will richly bless you.